If you will turn to your Bibles, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we'll read verses 1 through 5. And Jesus said, "Judge not, that you not be judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your own brother's eye." You know, we've been spending quite a few Sunday mornings in the book of Job. And up to this point, we have seen the misguided judgment of Job's three friends. And as I have stated many times, the book of Job is probably one of the best books in the Bible when it comes to human nature. And to be perfectly honest, all too often we spend too much time judging instead of understanding. Paul writes in Romans 8, verse 29, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." Right? Conformed. To be shaped in the image of Christ. Jesus was the first incarnation, God in the flesh. And there is a way in which we are to be that second incarnation, by having the heart of Christ, to be shaped in his likeness in all and everything that we think and do. I read a little story, don't know if it's true or not, that a man had scolded his 3-year-old daughter for using a whole roll of wrapping paper on a present that she had placed under a tree. But he was embarrassed about his actions and his overreactions when on Christmas morning she gave him the very present that he had criticized her for wasting so much paper on. She said to him, "Daddy, this is for you. Merry Christmas." And when he opened the present, he found that it was empty and he got extremely angry. He said, "When do you ever give anyone a present and not have something in the box?" He said, "You don't do things like that. Don't ever pull a silly trick like that ever again." His daughter looked up at him in complete surprise, and tears were streaming down her face, and she said, "Daddy, it's not empty. Before I wrapped it, I blew kisses in that box. It's full, Daddy. Full of kisses, all just for you." You know, sometimes, actually, probably most of the time, we are not qualified to judge. But why is it that we seem to want to violate this very simple command that Jesus gives us in Matthew 7? We are to judge not. Jesus, in the Beatitudes, is teaching us how to have the kind of righteousness that God desires, not just in this case, but in every case. And part of that righteousness that God desires includes not being critical, condemning, and judgmental of others. Now, to be clear, Jesus does not condemn or forbid all forms of judging and judgments. Well, you see, in Matthew 7, there are judgments that we must make. In verse 6, he tells us that we are not to give what is sacred to dogs or cast our pearls before swine. in verses 13 and 14 that we are to choose a narrow gate versus the wide and broad road. In verses 15 through 20, that we can judge a fruit by its tree. And in verses 24 through 27, that we are to choose to build our house on the rocks and not on the sand. All of these require judgment, and all of these require proper judgment. It was Paul who wrote in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 2 that we are equipped to judge the world. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, John plainly tells us that we are to test the spirits. And Paul in Galatians 6 and verse 1 admonishes us to restore a brother who is overtaken in sin. You see, this demands righteous judgment. There are other verses that gives us the right to judge. But friends, we must use these rights with discretion and discernment. We must never, ever be guilty of using these verses to do the kind of judging that Jesus is forbidding in Matthew 7. You see, we do it an awful lot. We try to scripturally justify our doing just what Jesus is forbidding. But what kind of judging does Jesus forbid? If we were to allow the surgical knife of the word to work, Jesus is forbidding the critical spirit. Are we being judgmental to everyone that we meet? Do we judge based on heritage or race or religious affiliations or political parties? It was these kind of judgments that fueled the Holocaust. These kind of judgments that fueled our great civil war in this country. These kind of judgments divide families. It divides churches, and it causes all kinds of injustice. The Pharisees, the Levites, all those people who were in the audiences listening to Jesus, those same people withheld good works. They withheld human aid from their fellow man because of these very kinds of judgments. This was one of the points in Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan. What is it that causes us to judge others so bad and treat them so terrible? First, it's just plain raw selfishness. It's that self-centeredness, that me-first attitude. Secondly, it's jealousy. Sometimes we make ourselves look better or superior. We do that when we critically judge others. You know, we think we are just as good as everyone else, or maybe even better. We play this kind of thinking out, and we end up making ourselves a judge, and we judge those who we believe to be socially or economically or spiritually lower than we are. We call this self-righteousness. And fourthly, we judge others in order to blame others. Look around our nation today. Look, as a matter of fact, just look throughout the whole world. The grand theme of today is, it's not my fault. We are what we are because we were born that way, because of how we were raised, because of our environment. We blame something or someone for all of our personal problems. But the truth is, we are what we are because we choose to be. Exactly what James was saying in James chapter 4. He says that we are what we are because of our own evil desires. We are who we are because of our own attitudes and decisions. In Romans chapter 14, I'm going to paraphrase the verses here because it is very long to read. But Paul writes here in Romans 14 that we are to accept those weak in the faith without passing judgment. That who are we to judge the servant of another? Why do you insist on judging your brother? Why do you look down on your brother? Therefore, stop passing judgment on one another. Do not allow good to be spoken of as evil. Let us make every effort to do what leads to peace. The strong ought to bear the failings of the weak. But into the next chapter, Paul goes on in Romans 15 that we ought to do all that we can not to criticize and judge, but our goal is to build one another up. And if we were truly honest, probably the number one sin within the church is judging. There are biblical reasons for not being critical and judgmental of others. Probably one of the keys and one of the things at the top of the heap is to remember that we will be judged by our own judgments. If we are guilty of these things, and that's truly what Jesus was getting at in Matthew 7, because it truly is a continuation of Matthew 6. The ones who were doing the judgment at that time were the Pharisees and the religious leaders. They were doing the very same things. If we are guilty of the same things that we are judging, should we not at least understand why we may be shunned? Paul, in Galatians 6 and verse 4, says that we ought to examine our own works. He says, let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. But he also writes in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31, that if we judge ourselves, we would not come under judgment. Can you imagine some are suffering today simply because God is applying the spiritual law to our lives? How we treat others is ultimately how we will be treated. And secondly, we must not judge because we are not qualified to judge. There are those who are guilty of even worse sins than the one they are judging others on. Is any of us here this morning so clear-eyed that we can judge someone else? Jesus plainly says, if we have a log in our own eyes, how can we see the speck in someone else's eye? Would you want a blind ophthalmologist doing surgery on your eye? The It's ridiculous to assume that we can judge our brothers and sisters, especially if we need to clean up our own lives so that we can help others, not judge others. Spiritual discernment and judgment are always for one reason only: to help us become more of what God wants us to be. Our goal in life should be to work on the righteousness that God desires, not to be mean and ugly and judgmental of others. William Barclay wrote in his commentary on the book of Matthew 7, he gives three quick reasons why we are not qualified to judge others. One, because we don't have all the facts. Two, we don't know the whole story. Three, we didn't know the box was full of kisses. What appears to us may not always be the way it really is. True story, 1864. A young man dies, and after the funeral, his grieving parents decided to establish a memorial to him. And so with that, they went to Harvard University. They went to the president of Harvard, Charles Eliot. And Eliot received this modest couple into his office and asked them what he could do for them. And they expressed a desire to fund a memorial. But Eliot looked at them because they were modest looking. They didn't look affluent. And they expressed their desire to fund a memorial. And he said, "Perhaps you have in mind a scholarship?" And they said, "No, we were thinking something more substantial than that, maybe a building in his honor." Eliot brushed aside this idea as being too expensive, and the couple left. The next year, Eliot learned that this plain, humble pair had gone elsewhere and established a $26 million memorial named Leland Stanford Junior University, better known today as Stanford University. Can you imagine with that memorial what it would have done for Harvard? Friends, we're not qualified to judge someone if we've never walked in their shoes. And we must never question and lead others to question the motives of others. You know, I think the internet is full of a lot of bad stuff, but sometimes, and what I really like about it is you can Google a question and something that you're searching for an answer. So this week I for a poem about judging. And the one that came up that I liked didn't have a name attached to it. It just said anonymous. But here's what it says. "Don't find fault with the man who limps or stumbles along life's road unless you have worn the shoes he wears or struggle beneath his load. There may be tacks in his shoes that hurt, though hidden away from view. The burden he bears, if placed on your back, might cause you to stumble too. Don't be too hard on the man who errs or pelt him with wood and stones unless you are sure, yea, double sure, that you have no fault of your own." Friends, we simply are not good enough to judge or condemn others. This is why judging is left in the hands of God and not us. Jesus makes this point in John chapter 8, the woman that was taken in adultery. Now, let's just say that she was guilty of that sin, and that maybe she had been guilty many times. But what did Jesus say to those who were trying to do just what our text this morning is forbidding? You who are good enough, you who are without sin, cast the first stone. You are good enough. Go ahead and judge. Go ahead. They began to leave. The oldest to the youngest. The ones with the most sins, the ones with the least sins. They all left. Yes, we are admonished to help, to assist, to care for, to correct, even rebuke. But judging others from a critical spirit is forbidden in nature. One last example. England and France were in war in the 1750s. They were fighting for control of Canada. The commander of the British fleet, Admiral Phipps, was told to anchor outside Quebec. And he was given orders to wait for the British land forces to arrive and then support them when they attacked the city with naval gunfire. Well, the admiral and his ships, they arrived early, and as they were waiting, he became annoyed by the statues of the saints that was on the cathedral in the city. So he commanded his men to shoot at them. No one knows how many rounds were fired from his cannons. Nobody knows how many statues were hit. But when the land forces arrived and the signal was given to attack, the admiral couldn't help because he didn't have any ammunition left. He used it all up shooting the saints. Is that what we do? Are we shooting the saints rather than taking God's message of saving grace to the lost, of helping those who may be overcome in sin above it, to get it behind them? We need to take Jesus' message seriously in our daily lives. We need to only judge in those areas in which we are commanded to do and leave the rest of it to God. If you are not a child of God this morning, we want to give you that opportunity. It is the way, the only way, to get the past behind you and to move forward with a new life. Through your repentance and confession, being baptized for the remission of sins, wash them away. Become that child of God. He will add you to His church. If you are a child of God, if there are things in your life that is not right and you need to make amends with God, maybe you've been guilty of judging others and you need to release that from you and change things and ask for forgiveness. If there's any that has a need this morning, won't you come as together we stand and we sing?